What?
You see, there's something that Sarah discovered.
Si haya al Sarah ligo.
God gave the promise to Abraham.
Rapa nakano di waad le Abraham le Ibrahim.
And told him, I have made you a father of many nations.
Ella okay le Ibrahim kali ana muda abuta mudun petir.
Lord, I will make you. I have made you. And he's telling someone who has no child. So God does not speak as if he's going to do. God speaks as if he has already done. In fact, they say in Hebrew there is no future tense. Not that I'm going to make you rich. He's not saying that I will make you rich, but that you are rich. Not that I will bless you, but I have blessed you with all spiritual blessings. He says his divine power has given us all that we need. Not will give us. Has given us. All that we need. For life and godliness. That means that what you are looking for, God has already given you. The church that we are going to build, God has already given us. To God, he has already built it. It is us who are slow to come to where he has already done. He told them, no one who has left. Father.
Abu.
Mother.
Uma.
Children.
Yeah.
Brothers,
Akwana.
Sisters,
Ikwad.
Houses,
Beauty.
Lands,
Wata.
Shall not receive 100 times more.
Mara ziada.
And he says, with persecutions. And today we want to talk about persecutions. Because maturity,
Asanta beraba,
you need to be taught the hard topics.
To eat balls.
We can give you milk,
yeah?
But when we love you, we give you bones. And we give you meat. And one of the things that we learn from the message of Jesus to the churches, and this is where we are settling in today in Revelation chapter 2, verse
8.
And we are going to see about the persecuted church. And this is the church of Smyrna. Smyrna.
Smyrna.
And this is like one of the towns in today's Turkey. Eh? In the country Turkey, this is one of the towns that was there. Uturuki. So, Revelation chapter 2 verse 8, let us read. And we'll read up to verse 11. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, this thing says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Now, the person who is writing this is John. John is the beloved disciple of Jesus. And he is the only one of the disciples of Jesus who they tried to kill but was not dying. And that is why he is the one who really understood what is called eternal life. And that is why he wrote the book of John. And if you read the book of John, it is a book of life. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made manifest and became in the flesh. And he made his dwelling among us. In him was life. And that life was the light of man. He says, I have come to give you life. I have come to give you Zoe. This life is the life of God. That means that what is operating inside you that is born again is the life of God himself that is living in you, that has the power to overcome sin. It has the power to overcome sickness. It has the power to overcome poverty. It has the power to overcome witchcraft. Because what is flowing in you is not just blood. It is the life of God. He said, I have come to give you life. And that life there is Zoe. The life of God. And that is why when you that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, as it lives in you, it gives life to your mortal body. That is why even if a mosquito bites you, you tell the mosquito receive life. Even if the malaria tries to enter, it meets the life of God. And if you believe that what you have in you is the life of God, I can assure you, you will not fall sick. You will not fall sick.
Amen.
Because you have the life of God. Sickness is death. Sickness is death. Now when death meets life, which one has to run? You see, Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. It does not say the world. Worlds. Duniat.
Duniat.
Okay. Now, that tells you that we are on earth. But not all of us are in the same world. Jesus was telling his disciples, I came into this world. These disciples that you gave me, they are not of this world. But I have prayed for them that you keep them safe in this world. But they are not of this world. That means that you are on earth, but you are not of this world. That means he says your citizenship is of heaven.
samawati.
That means that you are in heaven on earth.
Mana tuita samawati dunia ini.
That means that, have you seen a madman?
Yes.
He is talking to people he cannot see. He is speaking and hearing people the other people cannot see. When he is walking naked, he believes he has clothes. Why? He is in his own world. We are on this earth together. But he is in another world, in this world. And then the Bible tells us that the God of this world, God with a small g, is the devil. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers, that they cannot see the gospel. They cannot see the light of the gospel. That is why the unbelievers, they wake up for breakfast, they take
Marissa.
For breakfast, they take alcohol. Lunch time, instead of taking porridge, they take alcohol. At night, instead of taking tea, they take alcohol. And they say they are okay. They are ready to cross the road without looking. Why? Because the alcohol has taken them to another world where they believe they are powerful. So there is a world that alcohol and drugs gives people, that they become drunk and they start behaving like mad people. But now you see, God is telling us, by faith,
the iman,
the worlds were framed by the word of God. That means that there is a foundation to create your own world. Amen.
Amen.
There is a foundation that you can use to frame your own world. Now, the foundation that you can use to frame your own world is the word of God. Now, the word of God that you choose to believe is the foundation, is a frame of the world you will live in. Now, there are those who are in the world of the devil.
I don't want to talk about them. Because those ones, they are in their own world.
There are those who are mad. I don't want to talk about them. Because this one, they are in their own world. They first need deliverance to come out from that world to come into the world of the normal people. Now, in that world of the normal people is the world of Adam, where the God of this world is the devil. But then you enter another world when you give your life to Jesus. And you enter the world of Christ. And here is the world of the second Adam. And this second Adam is Jesus Christ. Is the Son of God. And in this second world, in this other world, you enter where you receive the life of Christ. You receive the life of God, which is the life of God. Now, with this life of God, God is telling you that you can frame your world using the word with God. Now, I want to ask you, what is the word of God that you choose to believe? Let us look at what we just read. Jesus verse 9 says, I know your works. Now, he's not saying that their works will get them saved. But the Bible says that are saved by grace through faith. Not of works, yet any man may boast. Ephesians 2:8-10. It says, for you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now that means in this world you are created into another world in Jesus. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to walk into them. That means that you, every day you wake up and you are following after Jesus, you are just walking into good works. The church that you are going to build, you are just, it's a good work that is already prepared in advance. This church is already a good work that is already existing. That it was just waiting for the right person to catch the vision and to move into it. That's why God asked, who has believed our message? Who has believed the word of God? That you can frame your own world with the word. And he says,
hello, Kelly.
I know your works. Jesus said, greater works shall you do more than I
have.
Jesus himself told us that you will do greater things than I have done. Jesus raised the dead. He's saying you will do more than raise the dead. I don't know what is doing death more than it. That means that you raise the person from the dead and you give him life. That means you have done more than the death. Jesus said,
this one Kelly,
greater works.
So kubar,
if you believe,
and I mean,
greater works
so kubar,
than I have done, that you shall do. He says, I know thy works. So these works are not to make you saved.
So de
the problem is many people are thinking the works is what makes them
saved.
The works are what you do after being saved. So every believer, there is something that is being counted that you have done. The things that you have done for the gospel, this is what Jesus is telling this church, that I know your works. Then he says, I know your persecutions, your tribulations. Jesus knows when his church is suffering. Jesus knows when his church is going through pain. Because you and Jesus, we are one body. He is our head. We are his body. That means when poor Saul was persecuting the church, Jesus did not ask him, Saul, why are you persecuting my church? He asked Saul, why are you persecuting me? Look at the difference. Jesus is not saying, why are you persecuting the Christians? Why are you persecuting me? That means when you are a believer, Jesus does not see you different from him. Jesus sees you as himself. So when you are crying, Jesus is feeling the pain. And he says, I know your tribulation. But Jesus is not crying because they are being tribulated. In fact, when we understand for Jesus, persecution, is actually purification. Because fire, when you boil something, if you have water, if you want to drink clean water, what do? You put it in fire. You put it until it boils. Once it boils, every bacteria, every germ, dies. So, when God is taking us through persecution, He is looking at the things that are not good in our lives, and He is burning them. It's just like when you go to the exercise. After you run, you feel like your heart is burning. You feel like your heart wants to come out. You feel your body is hot. But then the gym person will tell you, don't worry, we are burning away the fat. And for sure, after some time, all those fat will disappear. Why? Because you have put it to a fire. So persecution is God's way to purify us and to take us through the fire to make us like gold. And that is why Job says, he says that Job 23 verse 10, but he knows the way that I take when he has tried me. I shall come out as gold. That means that when God is taking us through persecution, when He's taking us through trials, He is actually wanting to purify us, to make us gold. And He says, I know. God is aware when anything that is happening to you, and there are usually two kinds of suffering that come. There are two kinds of suffering. The first kind of suffering is when you suffer for doing wrong. If you decide to steal from someone and you are caught and you are beaten of justice, don't say I'm suffering for being a Christian. You are suffering for being a thief. If you are sacked from your job for corruption, don't say they hate me because I am Dinka. You are suffering for being corrupt. But the problem is when that is happening, they say our people are being targeted. That it is our community that is being targeted. But you see, fire, persecution is like fire. Is to purify us, to remove impurities, to kill germs, to burn the fat, to remove the heavy things. That's why Jesus said, get rid of every sin and everything that entangles you, that you can run the race with perseverance. Remove every weight. Every weight, so that you can fix your eyes on Jesus. So, persecution, Jesus says, I know. And look what it says, and poverty. But you are rich. But you are rich. You see how God's language is. God cannot call you poor. Because if He calls you poor, you will be very poor. God does not call you sick. Because if he called you sick, you will die. Because everything God calls you, you become. Even the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. That means that God agrees with what you think about yourself. That means if you think you are a failure, God says, I agree. If you think you will always be sick with malaria, God agrees. And the malaria says, there's a home we are welcome. When you say this is the sickness of our family, that sickness has to look for your family. Because you are not just speaking for yourself, you're also speaking for your future generations. You see how your world, you can frame it using your word. So if you say, I am poor, but God finishes, he says, I know you are poverty, but you are rich. He has to correct it immediately. So, Shakira, if you agree, you will never become a manager. God agrees with you. But if you say, I am going to be the president, and God says, why not? If you say, I am going to become a landlord, God says, yes, why not? You are my daughter, become. If you say, I am going to study my master's in UK, and God says, I agree. Because he has said, as a man thinks, so is he. That means by faith, you can frame your world by the word of God. By the word of God. That means the word of God that you know can create a world for you, and you can live in it, and people can think you are mad. Because even in Christianity, we are not in the same world. Because there are Christians today who say, blessed are the poor, for we shall enter the kingdom of God. And they say, God, I am among those poor. Let me just enter. Let me just enter. Yet God is saying, I know your poverty, but you are rich. Now, if you agree that you are poor, God agrees with you that you are poor. And he says, I agree with you. Because the world you live in, they are framed by the word of God. So there are people who choose to believe this word and say that, because if you speak to Jehovah's Witness, the God of this world is the devil. So to them, they don't believe you can get anything good in this world. And that is why some people go and live in the mountains. They say, I don't need school, because if I go out, I will see. So there are people who are living as sinners. Have you heard of those who say that, me, I am a sinner saved by grace? So every day they say, I will sin. And by my sinning, I will be saved by grace. Oh, let me give an example of healing. If you go to Isaiah 53, He says, by his stripes, you are healed. That means that they are saying in the future, you will be healed. But if you go to Peter, Peter says by his stripes.
Buddhist bones girl by what are stripes?
You were healed.
Peter can go Elijah.
In the past tense.
Yes, we tell Almighty.
That means there are those who will live that they will be healed. And there are those who believe that they were already healed. And God agrees with all of them. So there are those who are believing they will be healed. By the same word of God. And there are those who believe they were healed. By the same word of God. And then there are those who believe not even in this being healed and will be healed. There are those who believe that they have the life of God. And that life of God overcomes all sicknesses. That life of God is above sickness. So by the same word of God, you can live in three worlds of healing. There are those who believe they will be healed. And that's why they keep getting sick and they will be healed. And God will heal them because he's faithful to the word they have believed. And there are those who believe they were already healed. So they are having some pain, but they say, I was healed. They say this pain is a lie. I don't believe it. I was healed. And then there are those who look at Jesus and they see, how did this man walk and we were never told he had a flu? We were never told that he coughed one day. That means he had the life of God. And he said that in him was life.
And that same life he has given to you and me. The same life that he had.
He has given you.
Later.
So, you can either walk
out of those who are higher,
you will be healed. That is one world. You are healed, you already in the past, that is a second world. And you can walk in divine health, which is a third world. There are people who believe that they will make it. And for sure, God will help them as they keep believing. And there are people who believe they have already made it. By your own faith. Jesus used to tell them, you are healed. By your faith. What you have believed of God is what will work for you. And he tells them, I know your works. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. But you are rich. The people he told they are poor were people who thought they were rich. There's another charge you will learn later. They said, you say you are rich, but you are poor. You are naked. You are pitiful. So those ones, Jesus condemned them. But you see, he's telling them persecution. Apart from purification, it also tests. Someone will ask, but why am I going through this trouble? You're telling me that I have the life of God in me. This life overcomes everything. Why am I going through some trouble? Why am I having some sickness in my body? You see, if you have a watch And if the watch they say is waterproof, how do you test that watch is waterproof? You put it in water. When they say this roof is fireproof, how do you test if it's fireproof? So there are some troubles that come, tribulation. Not because you have sinned, but to check and test and confirm. And when that trouble comes, God is wanting to check. Because in every exam, the examiner is silent. Because he has been qualifying you. He has been giving you lectures. And so he has to see, can this person graduate from class 1 to class 2? Because we don't just pass people in the school of the spirit. Even Abraham, God said, now I know. I know that you will not withhold anything from me. Because you gave me your only son. God had already said that your father, I have made your father of many nations.
But
you still bring the test. He brings the test. And in the test, he's silent. And he's waiting to see if Abraham is going to really kill this boy. And when he saw that Abraham lifted up his hand to kill the boy, then he said, stop!
What if?
He said, don't lay a hand on the boy. Maybe you have been given a diagnosis. And the diagnosis does not look good. No. You can choose how you respond to that diagnosis. There are people you tell they have HIV today. And in 3 weeks they die. There's a person who was told he had HIV. When he came after 3 weeks, he was already thin. But then he was told, sorry, we made a mistake. These were not your results. After 1 week, he was back to normal. So what killed him? It is the world he entered. He entered the world of HIV/AIDS. He went to
Google
and he saw that the symptoms of HIV/AIDS. You die. You become thin. And you started dying. And becoming thin. Why? Because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing. That means also doubt comes by hearing. And hearing the devil. That means that when people are saying the dollar is going up and things are tough,
I get going.
Don't agree with them. Just say they may be tough for other people.
They may be tough for
but
other
not tough for me. Say I am tougher than the dollar. That means you can live in a world above the dollar. Whether the dollar goes up or it goes down, it doesn't matter. It is the same to you. That means there's a world you can choose to live in. The reason why agape is going forward is because they are living in a world where we know that we have a rich God. We have a a rich God
who
does not depend on how much I earn to do his work. He does not depend on how much money we have in the account to do his work. He just gives us work and we say we will do. Right now there is crusade. Because there is a word that says the harvest is plentiful. That means that people are just ready to be saved. That means that they are already ready to be saved. All God is telling you is not even to pray for the harvest. Don't even pray for the harvest. Pray for laborers. Your prayer is God, give us more laborers. Because the harvest is too much. There is a world you can choose to live in. That Jesus can look at 5,000 people and say, you give them something to eat. They say, how can we feed all these people? This one needs more than 1 year's salary to feed them. Jesus said, make them sit down. What do you have? Why? Because Jesus is living in heaven. And in heaven, there is no poor person. There is no lame person. There is no sick person. There is no person with cancer. So, which world do you choose to live in? Which world do you want to choose? Whichever world you choose, God agrees with you. The world you choose, God agrees with you. If you think you can be bewitched, you believe that your auntie has done witchcraft for you. Even God agrees with you. And the devil agrees with you. And the witchcraft agrees with you. And they come and deal with you. But if you believe that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all powers, all principalities, all thrones, all dominions, and everything is under your feet. That means that they cannot even bewitch you. They cannot even see you. They are far above. Can you try to see a plane up there? Do you know planes have number plates? You know planes have number plates?
No.
Yes, those are flown there. But can you see the number plate from here? Why? It is far above. Now God is telling you that in Christ you are seated with him. Far above. That means when they are looking to bewitch you, they can't find you. They are trying to see, is he there? Can you catch a plane? So you can live in a world. You can choose your world. By faith, the world was framed by the word of God. This church is the only church that was not condemned by Jesus. Everything about them was blessed. That means their work they were doing for the gospel is a blessing. That means their persecution is a blessing. That means their poverty, although they are rich, is a blessing to God.
And let us look at one verse on persecution, then we will finish with that.
Persecution. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. And the Bible says,
Bible declares,
therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, is being renewed day by day. That means there are two people in you. There is someone people can see, which is the outward man. And this outward man is fading. But there is an inner man who is also you. He is the real you. Because when that inner man goes, we say, let us bury the body. We don't say, let us bury Emmanuel. We say, let us bury the body. Because Emmanuel is no longer there. That means the real you is not the person we see. There is a person inside you. That means outside, they think you are black. But inside there, you might be a Muzungu. Why? Because there is an outward man. But there is an inner man. Because the inner man is made in the image of God. The inner man is made like God. The inner man has the authority of God. The inner man cannot die, has eternal life. The inner man cannot be sick. That is why when someone says, are you sick? Yes, maybe you're walking with a bukeren. But which man is he asking? The outer man may be having a small limp. But the inner man is being renewed day and day. That means that you can choose to answer according to the inner man. And you say, you cannot do anything to me. You can kill this body, but you can't kill me. He says the inner man is being renewed day and day. Verse 17. For our light affliction. Tell your neighbor, light affliction. That means that every trouble you are facing, they say you have cancer, is something small. Our light affliction, which is just but for a moment. It's just for a moment. It's momentary. There is an inner man that is being renewed. And it says that he's working for us. That means when persecution comes, when trials come, it is working for you. Tell your neighbor, this sickness, he's working for me. Why? Because it is converting trouble into glory. That means when you meet sickness, you say, hey, I'm being glorified. Yeah. When you meet some problem in class, you say, hey, I'm being promoted. You have to see things the way God sees. Because he's saying these things are working for you. An eternal glory that far outweighs them all. That means the glory. When he says your trials, these ones, they are just being glorified. So when you face a problem, just so you really want me to shift to the next level? I'm ready to shift. That is why at times when you ask God, I want to go to the next level, he says, okay, let me give you a problem. So when the problem comes, don't ask, why did this problem come to me? Just say, thank you, God, that you have seen me good for me Because Jesus was never at the same level. When the disciples were in the boat and they were crying and Jesus was sleeping, he asked them, "Only of little faith." He just spoke to the wind and kept quiet. But then the second time when they were in the boat and they were suffering, Jesus comes walking on the water. He does not say, "Oh, you little faith." He asks, "Where is your faith?" By now, I expect you should have had faith. And this time, he did not even speak to the wind. He just entered the boat, and the thing became calm. Can you grow? And when I say grow, persecutions. Glory.
Make it come.
Persecutions. Glory. Persecutions. Glory. Persecutions. Glory. Stand up. Let us thanks to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.